but Haredi wanted that, so it shouldn't be accused that it's totally tidbits and it's whatever. This is an ad, though, for what I understand is put out by someone by the name of Eddie's Travel. I don't know Eddie, and I'm not, no, I don't say this is a joke. Eddie could be an Admor, it could be a Talmud Chacham, could be a regular guy, I have no idea. But the bottom, the end of, at the end of the day, it talks about, you know, you get the Skalin residence and everything you want to hear, and round the clock tea and cake. But it says, glatt mahadrin, kidney oat free, gourmet cuisine. That's the end of it. It mentions nothing about a Heksha. And if you want to go to a more religious environment or a more Haredi environment, this is more accurate, not God forbid more religious. You have here, I saw in today's Amar Vaseh, so you shouldn't think it's any focus to the English audience or the any kind of political swing audience. To have one here too, I don't even find it now, but the type was so small, and I had to use my magnifying glass, it's the same thing. Here's one, Nofer, Shalanu, Ein Mitcharim, and it goes about Malon, Kinah, and it doesn't say anything about the kashrus whatsoever. There's another one here that has a name, for those that know him, it's going about Shmuel Bornstein. There's another one that has a name which is even tiny inside, you had to use a magnifying glass. What's the point? Before lecturing again, I sat down with some of my friends, the Hotel Mashgichim, and they concurred. I try to constantly double check myself. There is a growing trend for hotels, A, to kasha, meaning during Bein Hazmanim, they've realized, you know, after Tisha B'Av, there's a big market for a brief few weeks to hop a line to get in all the Haredim that want to go away. And there's other times of the year when there's such brief moments where they can attract different markets. There's Pesach as well. And there's a growing trend not to use kashrus companies or hasherim that are known to us. There's a growing trend to get a private rav. Many times the hotel rav will be either coerced or persuaded to take it on for a few extra dollars. And generally the rav's wife and family will be allowed to come for the entire yontif as well, which is a perk, which costs the hotel basically nothing. And they put a rav's name on it. Again, we don't. If you know the rav and you say, this is a rav I trust, fine. That's the end of it. If it's a heksher you trust, fine. You can go home, you don't have to hear the end of this. But if it's someone you don't know, you know, someone said to me, I was on the phone, he said, but it says, I go in a rav so-and-so shlita. And I said, what do you expect they're going to write? They're trying to get you to come to a hotel to instill trust in you. So they write, I go in a rav shlita. He may be, he may not be. That's not for me to judge. But the point is, what would you like them to write? That the guy went to a mail order smicha program? They're going to write whatever it is to get you convinced. You know, and it's tachlis. I'm surprised sometimes people, wow, look at that. How could it be? And you need to not be on the defense and you need to think clearly. You're looking at an ad, you want a book, you're talking about Pesach, halachas kama v'kama, where you're talking about Isur's b'mashu and not batal b'shishim and all the time we enjoy during the year, but Pesach. And it's an amazing thing. Okay, the hechshers of the, some of the questions, some of the things we have to worry about, some of the things that should concern us. Start from the first page, there might be a little more clarity going on. Okay. I don't think, and I say it over and over again, I'll repeat it now, I don't think halacha demands of us to be mashgichim. I don't think we can get away with it if we choose to, and at least for myself and many others may not necessarily know enough halacha to walk into a kitchen in a hotel or a restaurant, and if you make it past the swinging doors, you'll probably be thrown out shortly thereafter. So it's not about walking in, checking for yourself, and learning, and that's a mistake we make as well. Many of the people who do phone and email me on a serious note, I tell them, you need to speak to your rav. You know, I'll give you information. Someone called me today. There's a hotel in Yerushalayim. It's called the Grand Court, I think it is, on Kfir Shachar. Might as well use a real name so you can get information if anyone wants to know about it. So he has a simcha to attend there. They only eat mahadrin. The Baal Simcha said it's a mahadrin hotel. He doesn't know. Could I find out? So I called the mashgiach. Spoke to him for all of 10-15 minutes, got a very good picture. It's a hotel like many of the Yerushalayim hotels, that's Rabbanut Yerushalayim, not Mahadran. But it maintains what they call Mahadran standard. What does that mean? They use Rabbanut Mahadran chickens, Rabbanut Mahadran shechita, tenuva, chalavi Mahadran, tava is Akudish Yisrael, and they also use tsuriel, which is Ravubin, and all the products of the array of the Badatza, without going into the different names. But he mentioned them, the things that you would see in an Osha Ad supermarket. So that's very nice. So my question obviously is, which I always ask them, so why don't you have a Mahadran Heksha? You know, but he wasn't the Rav, he was a Mashgiach. And he says, because now and then they throw in a fair, it's not Mahadran. Nachon, I know that. They use a goose liver and different pates. They make things that the Mahadran doesn't permit. So the hotels don't have it. The point being though, And I tell the gentleman, he didn't call me back, actually. I'll tell him, if you want to go, go. This is the picture. Gush Katif, of course. Wash it. Now, I have to say, as a rule, the hotels in Yerushalayim are on a higher level than I've seen elsewhere. They're on a pretty good level, even the non-Mahadrin. Everything's relatively speaking. But the point is, it's not Mahadrin. It can change. It can change. You check in Tuesday. By Tuesday night, it can be something different. If the Tanuva truck guy comes and says, I'm out of Mahadrin milk, they're not going to not be with milk. They'll take non-Mahadrin because it's not a Mahadrin hotel. They have, they don't have to accommodate the Mahadrin. That's for whatever reason they're doing it. And things change. So you have to understand what you're eating can always be the lowest level permitted by that heksha, and they're still operating within the parameters of the halachic permissibility for that hotel. And like Ralph Krakowski said in the first lecture, for those that were here, it's still one kitchen. It doesn't matter Mahadrin, non-Mahadrin. It's one kitchen cooking everything. The goose livers when it's non-Mahadrin, and the Mahadrin stuff when it is. You need to consider these things. As we will go along, you'll see, though, the food is only a part of the problem of the non-Mahadrin hotels. Okay? So again, I think you need to understand, and back to my term, the kashrus comfort zone. If it's a Rav you don't know, you want to call the Rav. The best thing you can do is call the Rav, get information, write it down as they speak. They're usually quite polite, and you write it down. You have to know what questions to ask as well, but the hotel Rav want to be usually well-versed, and they know to give you a pretty complete picture. And then you need to speak to the Moed Asra, wherever your posting is, and say, this is the name of the Rav, this is the hotel, what's the deal? You go to a hotel, I'm amazed how easily people are just willing to leave the comfort of their kosher kitchen and run to another place, sight unseen, in many cases, in a different city, different part of the country you're not familiar with, and eat. I had one last year, around this time actually, someone called me up, and he apologized. He said, I'm really sorry, I know it's a stupid question, it was more or less his words. He said, there's a special Shabbos going on in the Tel Aviv hotel. I'm very makpid on certain high-level shkitas, and he said, and I don't know if I can eat there, it's not a Mahadrin hotel. But he said, on the other hand, I called up the hotel, and they said, Rav Yisrael Me'alau, the Rav Rashi of Tel Aviv, the former Rav Rashi of Eretz Yisrael, he's going to be there for Shabbos. He said, what a chutzpah, like, he's eating it, you can't. And he said, it doesn't stim, it doesn't make sense to me, could you do me a favor and check it out, something doesn't sound right. So I happened to know exactly what he was talking about. It was an advertised event, and I knew Nachon Rav Lau was going to be in a hotel. So I was also curious. I wouldn't have done it on my own, so I called up, asked to the Mashkiach. I got the Rav's number. I wanted to speak to the Rav at the hotel, and I said, what's the deal? So he told me it's non-Mahadrin, etc., etc. Those who wish, for the same $100, they can get a Mahadrin airline meal wrapped up with plastic utensils, and that's what they're getting, nothing more, because we're not going out of our way to accommodate Mahadrin, but you can have it. So I says, but the papers are advertising Rav Lau's going to be there. He goes, he will be. He's not eating here. He's coming for Shabbos. Give it to Vato and he's leaving. Said, no, but you understand this. You're looking at a piece of paper and it says, Rav Yisrael Me'alau Shlit is coming. And it's not a fabrication. He is coming. They don't tell you he's not eating there. And this is what people do. Understand, the travel agents, the hotels, they're looking to sell rooms. They're looking to make a living. So here's really Halacha L'maisa, a case that happened last year. And Rav Lau attended, and they're using that Lachshil Anashim. And I called this guy back. He was so thankful. Then he was angry when he realized he would have been paying $100 to get an airline wrapped meal. He said, forget the whole thing, I'll stay home. So you got to be careful. You look at things, like I mentioned in passing, with the scholars in residence. And I'm not chas v'shalom b'mezalzel to anybody. So many scholars in residence, but Vadai, Talmidei Chachamim, all of them know more than I do. But the point is, they don't all check the kashrus. Some people who are bonded for decades, now it's payback time. My wife and me and the grandkids, we all go away, it's free of charge. All I have to do is give a shiur every day, and it's on the house. And they don't think to ask about the kashrus. And it's not always what you might want. That's all I'm saying. I don't use the word treif. I'm saying it may not be what you want. It may not be the level of your home. You may decide it's a family simcha, shalom bayis issues, I'll speak to the Rav, I'll go away. Maybe I have to be, makel here. But just stam to pay money, lechachila, go away to a place that you really wouldn't eat at if you knew what was going on, you need to think about it. Okay, some of the other issues that are very nogea, very pertinent. Is the hotel Mahadrin year-round? Like I said, they frequently, you'll see packages special for the Haredi Tzibur, we're kashering the hotel for Ben Azmanim, come one, come all. You need to speak to a Mashkiach, the Rav of the hotel, or whoever's giving the Ashkoch, and you ask him, is this Mahadrin last week too? If not, who kashered the kitchen? Who supervised it? Was it done in your presence, or did the hotel say they did it, or did you kasher it at all? I found times it's not kasher.
Is that poshut that they kasher it from non-mahadim?
Not at all poshut. It's general, but not at all. And some of the rabbanim that I speak to that mitaseik that deal with this, that give hechsherim privately, tell me the different levels, and you need to make sure that the hotel was kosher. Again, you're going from kosher to kosher, but there are people I know who are very makpid that if it's a non-mahadran hotel, they wouldn't eat on the dishes. And that's not for me to say yes or no, but the point is, realize that even if they kosher it, it's the same dishes, the same hotel, nothing's changed. That's some of the things you have to start realizing. So if you're not eating on the dishes, then you need to ask yourself, is this for me? Yeah.
Talked to the Mishkiach when I was there, and he had things served under paper and plastic, and he was right there.
He spoke about he went away on a Mahadran Shabbaton, and in that case,
even though it's not
stuff was being served on a non-Mahadran place, but a Mahadran Shabbaton, they were using Chad Pami, disposables. So that was done properly. If you really want to be Mahadran, you're either going to have to bring in other dishes, and the kitchen has to be kosher. You know, just last year, and this I know for a fact as well, in a very prominent hotel in Tveria, it was a Bein HaZmanim operation. There were 2 weeks. 1 week was for Sephardim, Haredim, and one for Ashkenazi and Haredim. And this is not intended to insult anyone, so I won't use names, but it does involve people, but it's a Maisa Shehoya. First was the Sephardi crew, then came the Ashkenazi crew, and the Rabbonim said, let's get together, we'll kasha together, save time. And it works, Ben. Why not? It's a win-win for everybody. So after the first week, the Ashkenazi Haredim is supposed to come up. But the Rav, who was the Rav HaMashiach for the second week, who I know personally, being who he is, he never arrives when he's supposed to, but he generally comes several hours early. In this case, he came about 8 hours early. So instead of coming Sunday afternoon, he was there bright and early Sunday morning for breakfast. And he's watching the breakfast, just watching. Getting a feel for the hotel, he's up there for the kashrut, he knows what's going on. And he sees the chef is making scrambled eggs in a Fleischer grill, in a Fleischer kitchen. Hotels have separate kitchens, it's not one side or another, but the actual separate, at least the Mahadran and the Yerushalayim ones. So he walks over to the Mashkiach, not the Mashkiach of the hotel, the Mashkiach for that week, and he says, Ma matzal, ma olech po? He says, he's making eggs. He says, I was a mitbach basari, this is the Fleischer kitchen. He says, you know, this is more comfortable, it's a better grill, whatever. He says, he went nuts. He said, scramble. That's what they call scrambled eggs in Israeli professional language. They call scramble. In hotels, they call it the scramble. But anyone that knows anything about hotels does know the scrambled eggs always have milk, liquid milk poured into the eggs. So you say the guy's making eggs for breakfast on a Fleischer grill that was used within 24 hours, Bar Yomo, was used the night before. And they're serving it in a cholav yisuda, and it's milk on the meat. This is like, you got problems from every direction going on here. So he says to the guy, what are you talking about? It's eggs, there's no milk. So for Svadi Lamaisa, they don't have not by not behetewa, it's less of a problem. For Ashkenazim, there's no way to go without the milk. But here there's milk in it too. So he goes into the chef with the mashkiach, and he says, what's in the eggs? He says, eggs, milk, and salt. That's what Jonas put in. The guy chalished, he couldn't believe it. So right away he sees a mashkiach, is a rav, Talmud Chacham, but he's not a mashkiach. He was there for the week, they hired him. He doesn't have a clue what you make in eggs for breakfast. If it was a hotel mashkiach, he'd know right away, eggs and milk. That's what, and they were eating this all week, so then he went to the hotel mashkiach, and he said, what's going on here? They trafed the whole place up. This is what people are eating? I told them, they didn't listen, I'm done, I did my job. That was the end of it. For 1 week, these guys were eating scrambled eggs with milk on a Fleischer grill that was used within 12 hours of breakfast, more or less. That was a Mahadran affair for Bein HaZmanim in Tveria. Okay, so it's a Rav who's a Talmud Chacham, but he's a Bor Amar Oretz when it comes to the recipes of what gets cooked. Every hotel Mashkiach tells me within 2 months, two months is a long time. Within a few weeks of working in a hotel kitchen, every Mashkiach pretty much knows the recipe, meaning not the amounts, but every ingredient that goes into every item. You know, I went to a Yom Iyun, a one-day seminar that addressed the yeshivas, the kashrus and yeshivas and hotels. And the head of one of the machlakot kashrut in the south of the country got up and he told the story that he went into a place, he went in for lunch, he tasted something, and he said, boom, he knew something's wrong, this is milchigs in there. It's got a good tongue. I don't know if anyone can, but he was sure. And we're serving a fleishig lunch. He took some of it, put it into a cup, sent it to the lab for a sample, and a few days later he realized they were serving milchigs with the fleishig lunch. So he went over to the chef. Ma pitom, no yecholiyot, chas v'sholom. The end of the story was, he had a bottle of something there where he dumped out the ingredients, filled it with his magic milchig formula, and whenever he made the stuff, he poured that in. But it looked like, you know, chefs do that frequently, you know. I know cases where it has a bottle of white wine. One mashgiach caught him, and he a bottle of vinegar, excuse me. And he caught him putting vinegar into a certain recipe, and he said, what are you doing? He said, I'm putting in vinegar. He said, no, you're not. There's no vinegar in this recipe. What are you putting in here? So he grabbed the bottle away, had it checked. It was treif white wine. Chefs want to make it taste good. If they don't have Yiras Shamayim, they're going to get away with anything they can. Mashgichim will tell you this. It goes on all the time. You need good hashgachim. Good hashgachim means mashgichim, not just rabbonim. You can be a rabbi and a talmid chacham, but don't have a clue how to be a mashgiach in a hotel. And it's a big problem today. So you need to know the names, okay? You want to know if the place is mahadran all year round, that gives you an idea about a lot of things. You want to know if the person whose name is appearing on the ad is a trustworthy individual with experience and someone that you know knows what he's doing and he's out there doing his job. He's in the kitchen, not upstairs, hanging out or in a business lounge. Okay, if the hotel has a heksha year round, or is it just for a finite period, you need to know. One of the problems people always say about the shechita, most non-Mahadran hotels outside of Yerushalayim at least have one dishwasher. Okay, there's a heter for it, there's many heter for it, actually not one. But unlike those dishwashers we find in our homes, these are commercial dishwashers. They don't stay there with a knife and fork and scrape everything off the plate. The whole leftovers of lunch get thrown in, and everything goes through this machine. It's humongous, you can walk through it. And there's chunks of meat, there's quarters of chicken. If you go to any hotel in the coming weeks when they start taking apart the machinery for Pesach, literally disassembling, you'll see what comes out of the dishwashers. So there are heterim that say it's pogum, but l'chadchila, even a non-Mahadran hotel is supposed to run the dishwasher on a full cycle, empty on hot, and then go for the next meal. So if they serve breakfast, run it, then goes lunch. And the mashgiach I met with just the other day, he says, but l'maisa doesn't happen. Because breakfast is supposed to end at 10, it schleps till 10:30, lunch starts, no one ran it, and then lunch is coming in, it goes right into the machine. So understand, if you go to a non-Mahadran hotel, even if they kashered it, now you got to find out how many dishwashers do they have. Sometimes they won't let them use the dishwasher and they'll have to do it by hand. That also happens. But these are questions. Again, a non-Mahadran environment is not designed for Mahadran crew. And that, I'm talking now about the kitchen. We'll get to the rest of the hotel later. So you need to know how many dishwashers do they have.
Mahadran
hotels must have two dishwashers by the Rabbanut standard. They don't tolerate one. You need to know, was the place kashered? Who supervised it? You need to know, was it by Yamo or not when they kashered it? I mean, did the guy know, like, to say, we're coming in Motzei Shabbos or Sunday, no one's allowed to use the kitchen for 24 hours to kasher. If not, there's other problems. Halacha dictates that the stuff sits for 24 hours, the equipment. I've seen cases where they forget to tell them that also, or they say do it, but no one checks it, and they come in and it's obvious, this, you know, stuff was used, they brought a crew in, it's a lot of money, and they kasher anyway. So it's all b'dieved, with a lot of problems. Then we get back to the regular questions that we are familiar with. The hechsherim. What shechit is the beef? What shechit is the poultry? Are you using that brand exclusively? Are they using that exclusively? Do they have the same pots? Or are they using separate pots? Or if they're the same pots, were they kosher? Again, if you mock it, some people say, I don't care. It's kosher. I don't have to look for more chumras. What about the kitchen staff? Hotels have an enormous amount of non-Jews working in the kitchen. Some hotels I've seen, the chief baker, for whatever reason, dafka the bakeries, chief baker's a goy. Makes for a lot of problems, okay? Mahadran hotel is supposed to be Bishul Yisrael, according to the Ramah and the Beis Yosef, which means Sfardim, which means the Jews are doing the cooking. The goyim are not getting their hands into the pots on the gas. Back to the grand court from this morning, he told me, Beferush, even though we have Mahadran food, we're Bishul Akum for Sfardim 100%. I take no achwayas for Bishul Yisrael for Sfardim. Again, no one knows to ask it. It's not, so it's Mahadran standard. It means I brought in Mahadran food. Doesn't mean it's Mahadran standard at all. Okay, so you need to know about the staff. You need to know one of the differences between Mahadran and non-Mahadran will be, by the way, another one. Mahadran will have Mashkiach Tamidi. Those guys live in the kitchen. They're in and out, but they're there. It's not like Yosef and Nichnas that they come back in an hour. Yotze v'nichlas means he walked out, went to another kitchen, went to check a pantry, and he's back. And there's always supervision that never stops. Yes?
It's going back to what you just said about asking which hechsher of meat and chicken they use. When it's a standardized tool now, we know they have what they accept. How do you know that that's not going to switch it from today to tomorrow? 100%,
like I said before. He tells you now it's all mahadrin. That could change between entree and dessert. Nachon. And he has no achlayus to do anything. So again, so that's why I said you need to know the Rav HaMashia for that week, for that Yom Tov, for whatever it is. Question, we'll see. Anyone heard of Kibbutz Levi? Farm in a place. What hechsher, anyone know? Everyone goes there. What meats do they serve? What hechsher? What shechitas? Does anyone know? I'm asking, not I'm being mitbayesh. Kibbutz Levi is a very popular place for the Haredi world as well. All right, it's actually a good place for many reasons. Okay, and they have only Jews in the kitchen. Most people, if you ask, they'll tell you Reuben, Landau, Ada. So if you go to the website, very honest people in Kibbutz Levi, and you read the Hebrew website, and you read it carefully and slowly, it says everything we use is Reuben, Landau, and Ada Haredit, with the exception of meat and chicken. And the dairy. That's what it says. So you can't have tainas with the guys. So I spoke to the Mashkiach.
Well, what does the Tudah say?
The Tudah says that it's Mahadrin for Rabbanut, whatever, Opa Galil or Yohan Mashu Kazer. And if you speak to them, they'll tell you. I spoke to him. He said, Nachon, that's why we write it. We use Tanuva Mahadrin. We don't not mock it off Landau's milk or off Reuben's milk or Ada Haredit's milk. They're talking about all the other ingredients. Which is a lot in itself. I'm not being mazalzel for that, but people come and say, no, you can eat that. It's off land. I said, what's off land now? And then you say, everything. I said, no, it's not. Ask the Rav. People are not, they're careless. They see the words in the article. Land of it, well, we're done. Fresh party. You go up there and you find out it's Rabbanut chicken, it's Rabbanut meat. If you want Rav Reuben Shechita, you can get it, and they'll give it to you. They say in separate pots. They have totally separate kelim for anyone who takes Rav Reuben stuff. But the point is, people don't look. Most people I ask, what is it, Lavi? You can go with your eyes closed. You can. I'm not saying Gafbit's not kosher, but it's not what you think it is. Okay, so the Mahadrin has two dishwashers, the non-Mahadrin has one. The dry ingredients, the Chomei Gelim. So one will run the gamut of the different Badatsim, and depending on what the Heksher is, if it's a Heksher like Ada Haredit, Rav Landau, Rav Reuben, Bells on a hotel, then you know that the ingredients are going to be the acceptable ingredients to that agency. If it's our friend Rabbi Shlita, you don't have a clue what he's putting in there. And if it's non-Mahadrin, you have less of a clue, but you know it's going to be whatever the hotel bar you could get for the lower price that was acceptable to the baker, the chef, etc., etc. Okay, and Mashkiach pointed something very significant out. Even the most veteran Mashkiach will regularly call the Rav HaMashia, his Mifakeach, the rabbi, his supervisor, to ask a shaila. Because what happens is the hotels order enormous quantities of everything. Suppliers cannot always give what they want. And what happens, they get to the loading docks. You see, the hotel is a loading dock, and they come in, and there's always a Mashkiach booth at the loading dock. Everything is supposed to be checked on the way in. They do it Tudot Mishloach. They check the shipping invoices against the orders, against the acceptable Hashem. The Mashkiach has to put a stamp on everything before they're allowed to bring it in. So it's not uncommon at all to find Hashem that are not acceptable to that hotel. So they get on a line, they call up Bobby X. Look, we're out of this, we need it. He came, this is what they have, it, can you use it? And he said, a non-Mahadran hotel, the first question the Rav HaMashia from the Rabbanut will ask, they'll say, is the hotel Mahadran or not? And they'll say yes. Well, no, if it's no, then they usually make it. They'll say, go for it. It has a heksha from somebody, you can use it. And that's within the acceptable parameters of the Rabbanut. That's not cheating anyone. But it's a Mahadran hotel, they have to be usually Mahmiya. And that's another big difference. So they can tell you, like we said, it could change at any moment. Most of the time we use spices from Company A. Tuesday they ran out, the driver came, the chef's having a fit, there's no paprika. They'll take a different heksha because that's what they need. It's kosher, Rabbanut, it's maskim, it's not Mahadran, it's fine. So it's a lot more than shechita involved here as well.
I have a question?
Yeah.
Someone once told me that there's a rule, any regular Rabbanut in the country is required to accept any other regular Rabbanut in the country. Is that correct? That's correct.
I give you another one. It's Nogea and it's not Nogea.
But I said it's correct?
Yes, to the best of my knowledge. I spent a lot of hours on it this week. There's a halakha of anyone here into farming or planting, you know, in Yanov Ola. There's a concept that's relatively new called Eitzim Dushanatiyim, what they call here. 2-year-old trees. What they do is the what do they call the place where they raise the trees? Thank you. The nurseries plant trees, and they grow for 2 years, and then they sell them to a farmer 2 years old, and it's supposed to be halachically with a gush adama, meaning they lift it out of the ground, the roots are covered by dirt, the dirt has to be solid, there's all kinds of rules and regulations governing this. They move it to the farm, they plant it, and boom, 1 year, all is done, this guy's a happy camper, he saved 2 years, and they're willing to pay a little more for that tree. So I called a lot of people this week, and Mama spent a few hours on it, and met with people, and so the Rabbanut Reish Yisrael accepts this. Okay, so again, we go back to all the old questions. The list keeps mounting. Everyone always wants me to make a list, difference between Mahadran and not Mahadran. So another thing to add to the list, Rabbanut says these Eitzim Dushnatim are fine, and they accept it, you move it with the dirt around it, it's good. So I said, okay, what do I know different? What did the poskim say? Rabbi Yashiv says, bidyevid for non-mahadrin, and with a big bidyevid, you can use it. Rav Vozna and Rav Kanievsky say, never and never ever chas v'shalom, it's all, as soon as that thing comes out of the ground, the clock starts again for 3 years. So if you really don't hold by the Rabbanut Sateirim, this stuff's all for you, and you're buying it. Not every city holds it. Yerushalayim is an exception. There are others. I was not successful in reliably finding out which others, but I do know Yerushalayim doesn't accept it. But, here comes another but, if you rely on Rabbanut Mahadrin or Rabbanut Regular, and they don't accept this heta for Allah, but if stuff gets mixed in, since Yerushalayim is being Machmir, and Rabbanut Reishi says it's good, b'di'evid they'll accept it. They won't asa the stuff that got mixed in with. But if you have a Badatsu, none of them accept it. If it gets mixed in, the whole shipment goes. So again, the differences mount up, and it's not being zilzul, and it's not anti-patriotic, and has nothing to do with whatever kind of yarmulke one does or does not wear. If you go to the army, you don't. It has to do with which halacha you follow and who your posik is, and that's what it should always come down to. Yes?
You mentioned Kibbutz Lavi. So, they advertise Mahadran, and they're known as Mahadran.
It is Mahadran, of Orbach chicken and Mahadran. By Rabbanut standards, it's called Rav Orbach Mahadran. There's a Rabbanut Mahadran standard. Okay, I went to see the shechit of one of them last week. It's Mahadran.
So if a hotel advertises, or I mean not advertises, but if it has
lashkacha,
it's called Mahadran, so you can assume they have a Mahadran standard. That's what confused me.
You can assume whatever you like. Mahadran, there's fine nuances that as you get better with this, you start picking up on. Mahadran means generally Rabbanut Mahadran chickens. They actually use a word which doesn't apply to chickens, but they call it glot. But they don't say glot, for the chickens they say chalak. That means the Haredi Hashem. That's the difference. That's how you sort of catch these things when you don't really know. They play with the words. Like Rav Verna from Chadeva, Rav Yaakov Ariel from Ramat Gan, thank you. Rav Kiryat Shmona, Rav Tzafania Drori, Rav Orbach. These are some of these gentlemen, some of these Rabbanim are walking Sifrei Torah. They tell Talmidei Chachamim Muvakim Achula Achula. They have the different Rabbanut Mahadran Achshevim. Those that accept it, accept it. Those that don't, they don't. And then you got the what I call the Haredi Mahadran Achshevim. Just another difference. So I went to see Badatzio Adeya Shechita last week on the chicken, and you see the Mahadran on another line right next door, and you see a difference. Here there's two goyim salting. Mashkiach is on there like with a shotgun. I'm not kidding. I walked in, I walked out, I ran around, I kept playing, looking around, came back 20 minutes later. I think they train him not even to blink his eyelids. This guy stands on these two goyim with the malicha. There's no moving. And the Rabbanut Mahadran guy, the Arab stay there salting, he comes and goes every 20 minutes, half an hour, whenever he gets there. Is it wrong? They have. Yotzei v'nechnas, that's halacha. So there's differences. It's not politics. When people say it's politics or all of whatever they say, it's amaratz. It's not based on fact. It's not based on knowing anything except it grates them or rubs them the wrong way politically. That's what it has to do with.
You're saying there's no politics involved, or it's generally not politics?
Anyone that says there's no politics or money to do with kashrus is also b'am ha'aretz. But that doesn't negate the fact. That doesn't negate the fact that there are legitimate differences and legitimate standards and legitimate kulas and chumas that adhere to either way. And that creates different standards. And it doesn't mean everyone feels there's a need. Just like there's the article that's pulled a lot of emails and comments I wrote about the Eda Chavedit warning this week about they don't give a hechsher to Sultan Pots anymore. The Eda says you should do Hagola and Trila, and everyone went crazy. So, Puch Hashem, it generates thought. People are writing in. So the point is, Lamaisik, even according to the Eda, it's a chumma. But it's a chumma they live with. It's not halacha. It's not partial halacha. not getting into the pots now, but the point is, you have to find where you live with, and it's defined by who your lav is and who your posig is. It's not defined by the menu that they're serving in the hotel and how much they're charging for the third kid and the fourth night free. And that's, we've gotten to that level. We approach it incorrectly, we think of it incorrectly, and it's not a joke, it's serious business. On the one hand, you rip your house apart, well, hopefully we do it, and you try to get rid of everything, a chometz is also b'mashu, and then we go to the hotel. You know, I was in a class last year, there's a gentleman from Ashdod or Ashkelon, I think it's Ashdod. He runs a kashrus consulting firm, I think he's a Belzer Chassid, a very fine Horowitz. Enormous guy, he runs around the country kashering places for people. She said to me, think of it, anyone ever seen a hotel for Pesach, the cakes? Just to talk about the desserts. I said, yeah. He said, what strikes you about these cakes? So I said, I'm always amazed that they look like the cakes during the year. He goes, Bidiyok. He said, that should worry you, because when you make them at home, they look like Nebuch, what a mess. Think of it. He said, the hotel cakes look like the cakes all year round. They give them hetayim to use stuff in your life you wouldn't bring into your house on Pesach. You can't make a cake that looks that way using Mahadran Pesach. You can't. It doesn't exist. You buy these cakes, these Riesman cakes, you need a pail of water to get one down, they're so dry, and you pay a lot of money for it. You go to a hotel, wow, slides right down, don't need anything. These are things that, after you get over the initial, wow, this is beautiful, you should be somewhat concerned. And again, I'm not saying it's chametz, I'm not saying anything. There's a lot of standards. Pesach is far more complicated. Pesach has to do with what people do and don't accept, and what's bittul, what isn't bittul. You need to know where you belong and where you fit and what standards you maintain all year, and it's an awful chaval to compromise a standard just out of ignorance, because we don't do the minimal to find out where we should go or pick up a phone and speak to a rav that knows what he's talking about.
It's not possible that hotels have commercial ingredients
Yeah, they buy the stuff that you wouldn't buy at home in bigger quantities. That's the type of commercial ingredients. It comes in 20 kilo bags instead of 1 kilo bags.
They
live in the same world we live in. Why not?
They have ingredients that you can't get to, you can't buy something.
Not according to the experts I speak to. And again, they're kosher based with a certification. But you have to decide if that's a certification good for you, and it's fine. I don't say that in a condescending way. Chas v'shalom, I really don't. But I personally find it offensive where we permit ourselves to fool ourselves, go to a place and eat, because everyone's doing it. Look at the guy over there, he's got a longer beard, he looks firmer. And this guy's brother and shul told him, sure, you can eat there, but he's not there. You know, you think this is really how silly it is. People do this kind of stuff all the time. Guy told him, I'm going to the Simcha, and the brother-in-law said I can go eat there. Is the brother-in-law going? What's the difference? Yes, by the way.
Now that you gave out that sheet, so saying Gush Katif vegetables is essentially meaningless. You have to know that
it's meaningless.
The rules.
It's meaningless if they don't follow the rules. If they follow the rules,
so
hotels
are pretty onerous.
Right. Hotel rules demand that they wash them in soap and rinse them and clean them. So even if it was a lower end brand, it should do the job if they do their job. And like I've seen hotels, again, Yerushalayim's the highest standard. These vegetables go through a hard life before they make it to our plates. They really do. Some, not in those quantities. They're not going to have pre-washed lettuce. Hotels just use too much. They have special sinks. Areas set up with pressure hoses. They really do. They should anyway. We hope they do. But like the Rav says, they tell you, Kimuvan kol ha'yera gush kativ. And if you look at the Rabbanus on the definition, some have them insect-free and some give you the free insects. And you got to know which one you're getting. It's not a joke. And if they're not washing it, then chas v'shalom, these are various, this is midoraisa. This is not a ready chumas and not midoramon, this is midoraisa. And this stuff does go on.
You just said that a hotel can't use a gush katif because
they can only use gush katif.
But they haven't put those quantities, they just don't.
No, she said there's pre-washed. There's some lettuce you can buy that you don't even.
There are around five levels of gush katif.
Right. And according to the Eda Chavedit, now and then I see sells a box of lettuce, for example, that says on it, buffet gush, pre-washed. All you do is make a brach. You don't even have to rinse them at home. But they're expensive. You know, you're talking about another shekel or two. It's 10 leaves in a box. Forget about it for a hotel. Hotel gets a truck shipment at one shot. And again, the kashering of Pesach is underway in some of the hotels in Yerushalayim, right? I can tell you that. It takes generally 60 to 90 days for a hotel to kasher for Pesach. And the Rabbanim here questioned very much. And I have to say, after watching it 2 years in a row, different stages of it, I haven't been in a hotel for 2 months, but they say, they're amazed. Here they're kashering from kosher to kosher. Nachon, it's chametz, b'mashus, you got it. They take everything apart, you should know. The ovens, technicians come in, they make appointments in the Yerushalayim hotels, the Mahadran hotels, some of the non-Mahadran hotels that I'm aware of. They disassemble all the equipment, the goyim clean it for 24 to 48 hours, the technicians come back and reassemble it. Ad kedei kach, to the last screw. That's when they usually, in the Mahadran hotels, will also change the gumiyot, which the non-Mahadran will do. The Mahadran hotels, like the Ramada in Yerushalayim, has separate Pesach dishes, because over the years, there's the manager there, the Yerush Shemayim, who lives in Yerushalayim, and he goes along with the Rav Mashkiach, and he doesn't believe in all this kasha, everything, you can make everything work for Pesach. They have a separate machsan, Pesach only. Again, these are differences, you have to decide. You know, there's a lot of questions with kashering an oven door with the gumiyot. Pesach yes, Pesach no, heta yes, heta no. Think of what you do in your house and just multiply it 5, 10, 100 fold and start deciding if it works for you fine.
How are they kashering now? What are they doing for the next 3 months?
They close off sections. The meat departments in a real Mahadran hotel realize Pesach, they don't have a prayer of getting enough kosher Pesach meat in time. They already start working out the meat at least a month before Pesach, and they start freezing it in special freezers. I mean, I can tell you, like in the plaza, the thing is locked. If the Mashkiach has to go to the bathroom, I actually was there for it once. Not saying it's a joke, serious. There's a Mashkiach who stands guard by the door. That's a great job. You're there all day. The goyim inside working the meat. He has to leave for whatever reason. Mincha, Shevutim. He makes them all leave the room, puts a padlock on it, puts a seal in the lock, goes, does what he has to do, comes back. They wait for him outside. That's how they start section by section. So the Rabbanim say, in America, you get a treif hotel. 4 days before Yantav, a kasher's agency comes in, kasher the whole place, Mahadran, scholar residents, tea around the clock, and they're all ready to go. And they say, I want to see how they can do that. It's not possible. The Mashkichim are getting incensed by it. They work for weeks and weeks and weeks, and they say, in America, they take a treif hotel, and in 4 days, 5 days, 6 days max, the place is ready to go.
So the norm here is how long?
They start at least 2 months before, most or even 3 months before. Leonardo da Vinci, correct. Okay, another thing about Bishul Akum. Okay, Bishul Akum is Midir Rabbanon. If a goy lights the oven, a goy lights the gas, there's no heter for anybody to eat it. It's that simple. Ashkenazim, Sfardim, Temanim, whatever else you can come up with, whatever, any adot you want to throw in. Commercial ovens, understand, hotels have convection ovens. Okay, and the ovens, we're talking about ovens that you can literally walk into in some cases. The way these ovens are designed for various reasons, one is so you don't get burned when you open it up, and others to save energy, to maintain heat. The moment someone opens an oven door, the cooking process is shut off. It's a switch, like the refrigerator light goes on, the oven goes off. So if one of the goyim open up an oven in a hotel, and it's not at least the third done, but a minimum, then they close the oven, boom, Bishul Akum. That's how serious it is. And you got goyim running around the kitchens all the time. If the Mashkiach doesn't know, doesn't care, doesn't have a clue what he's looking at, it's glat Bishul Akum for Pesach or for Chol, whatever it is. And I mean it. And these things, you got to realize how much is involved. A hotel kitchen, the kitchens are separate, different levels again. Mahadran is by far stricter. Non-Mahadran, that's another thing. Non-Mahadran is not built to be as crazy, although it should. Because Milchik Fleishik's Parv is a kashrus thing, not a Mahadran thing, but that's the reality. You know, some hotels actually have the meat and milk on different floors. Some have totally separate rooms separated by the Parv. I've seen some that have a curtain, and they're not allowed to operate in one until the curtain is drawn and the other one, the Gamre, just not permitted to operate. Okay, and there's just so many inyanim involved. Like if you think about livers, okay? Livers happens to be a pet thing of mine, but I read a lot about it. I just find it fascinating how intricate the halachas are and chas v'shalom how much we can do on the shamazin by eating them incorrectly prepared, and yet everyone has ala'esh and this and that and whatever. They're all hotels, and again, there's mevusas on piske halacha by Talmidei Chachamim, but there's one shitah that lets livers cook a kasher in the convection oven with the door open. Others kasher it on the gas, the old-fashioned way. If this matters to you, you have to know where you're going to eat. Other hotels say livers are too complicated, too many goyim, too many problems, and they only buy kashered livers with a good hechsher because they don't want to deal with it. Okay, the list is never ending. I've been doing this for several years already. Each year I find out more, each visit to a kitchen. My knowledge gets a little better, so I see more. It's never ending. I've seen Mashkiach, also realize in a hotel, learning Yoredei is not enough. What goes in our house, what's permissible in our home, is totally awesome in a hotel. That ad exception, I have not had one Mashkiach who says otherwise. So even chas v'shalom, someone spills milk into the chicken soup, it's batel b'shish al pi kol hadayot in a hotel, it's in the garbage. Again, if it's Erev Shabbos, there's other inyanim I have to think about, but I've seen mashkichim say, this Shabbos, no cholent for the guest, you know, the management's having a canary, what are we doing? They have to deal with this. He's not interested. You have to deal with your guest. This cholent is us, it's not being served. Okay, they always say the worst thing that can happen in a hotel kitchen is that the goyim learn hilchas kashrus, because once they know about the b'shishim and a few other things, they're out there putting a little milk in, they measured it, this is what goes on, it really is. You're laughing. A chef wants to outdo everyone else. He wants people to say, look at the food. He wants to get a Carmel Award. He wants to be in some competition. This is their ego. And if it's not a Shomer Shabbos chef, and I've seen, I can't say I've seen very few, but sipping through hotels in my mind, I can't remember seeing one chef with a yarmulke, unfortunately. And that would be a wonderful profession for the young to look into today. I tell people very much, take a Mashkiach course and go to this Culinary Institute of Yerushalayim that's run by a Haredi Yid and make some real kosher food for Am Yisrael. It'll be a wonderful career, because the restaurants now are waking up, because the more Machmei Hashem are looking for Jewish cooks. They're not tolerating having goyim in the kitchen anymore. Yeah.
Shabbos issues.
Okay, I didn't forget it. Okay, while I don't push aside the significance of the Shechita again, the big question, now we see already there's inyan of what kind of gush katif, how it's prepared, what are the raw ingredients, and the livers, and on and on. And again, these are questions you should be asking the guy, because he'll tell you, you will know, you won't know. It's not what you're supposed to do, but you need to say, wow, here's the name of the Rav, this is the hotel, is this Mahadran all year, yes or no, who's the Heksha now, was it Kasha? Then call your Rav and say, this is what I do know, can you help me? That's how you really go about it. Okay? And again, this morning when I called up the receptionist, I don't think she wanted to do anything but be accommodating. I had trouble tracking down the Rav, and she said, tell me your question, I'll answer, I'll help you. I said, no, I don't want you, I want the Rav. Okay, the travel agent, I don't care how firm the guy is not the source for the question. The hotel management is not the place for the question, nor anyone else other than the Rav HaMachshir or one of his agents, the Mashkiach. And it, to me, it's foolishness. I've had travel agents call me. Last year, one guy was very irate. His mom was yelling quite out of control. How dare you, blah, 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 blah. So when I finally got through and he's done, and it took quite some time, I said, what's the kashrus? It's Mahadran. And he hung up. He doesn't have a clue. That's the metzias. He doesn't have a clue, the guy. And in the meantime, you're selling in the ads and people are wondering it's Mahadran. Mahadran is an abused word. It's a buzzword. It's the same as badatz. It doesn't mean anything unless you know there's something behind it that confirms what it should be. And the law doesn't govern the use of Mahadran or Mahadran min Mahadran. You can do whatever you want with it. Okay, so we did the ingredients, we did everything else. Now we get to a little thing. Oh, so I'm still at the kitchen. I'm not done with the kitchen. Who's mafish the challah? How's this done? Again, if you don't know enough halacha and you don't care, not that you don't care, God forbid the challah's taken, but you don't know the difference. If it's the chadchila b'di'evit, is there a heta? Do they do it once a day and calculate for the day? Do they do it b'di'evit after the stuff was made? There's a lot of ways to take challah with a tay, and there's a lot of ways to do it, and there's one way to do it l'chadchila, to stay there, take the dough, set it aside, make a bracha. Many cases this is not done, and it's done with all kinds of atayim. You need to know, is the rice checked? They don't buy bug-free rice, way too expensive, no hotel is buying it. The same with everything else, the adashim, the legumes, all the beans have to be checked. Hotels in Yerushalayim, some have machines. The rice gets poured, it's going down a long conveyor belt, it shakes it to death, everything falls out. They have humongous flour sifters, which are great. Who cleans the flour sifter? The flour sifter doesn't get cleaned, it doesn't do much either. There's a lot going on the Mashkiach has to do. Actually, in the next week to two, Belinet, I hope to put out a piece about just what in a wedding or what an affair will look like from the eyes of Mashkiach. Some of the things the person has to do, I think it's worth reading. If you read that, you can get an idea of, wow, there's a lot here I didn't think about asking, and you better hope you have someone at the other end that knows enough and cares. Okay, bread. Is the baker a Jew or Goy? Most of the time I've seen the bakers are Goyim. It seems to be a big area where they bring abs in. They must have a school where they teach them. I don't know, whatever the case, but that's the reality in the field. And about challah. Now we go down to a little thing called Shmiras Shabbos. Okay, the difference in a Mahadran hotel and a non-Mahadran hotel is vast. I can always give an opinion because, see, I have a great job. I get to point out problems and the Rabbonim have to come up with the solutions. For me, it's easy. Shabbos, a Mahadan hotel is built to accommodate Shabbos. A non-Mahadan hotel in the modern world today very frequently is not. This could include infrared sensors everywhere you move, including using the bathroom, including walking through the lobby. Some of them operate constantly, some are operated by movement, so every time you move, you're setting it off for heterium and ways around it, and everyone does it. That's not my department. The point is these things exist. Other problems with Shabbos are the room locks. So of course, everyone says, big deal, you get a key. Well, I learned this week that some of them, when you open with the key, the same recording mechanism that records the cards also records for the key. So if there's ever some kind of a theft, a crime, whatever the reason is, I don't know the chishuv of the administration, Hanalah, by using your Shabbos key, which you think you're using, you're also recording the time of every entry. And then again, we have the automatic lights on off, air conditioning on off, all these energy saving measures. Mahadan hotels are supposed to have ways to accommodate circumventing this stuff, al pi halacha. Rav Halperin of the Institute of Torah and Halacha, who, according to most people, is the expert in the world today, explained to me, it was startling actually, not every elevator that operates on autopilot is a Shabbos elevator. Some of them are Mechal Shabbos automatically, and some of them are Mamash Shabbos elevators. So he said non-Mahadan hotels will frequently have a sign, Pikud Shabbat. The elevator goes up and down, be careful when you hit a buzz, stay back, watch the closing doors. But it's Chilul Shabbos, it's just done automatically. And you can't go into that elevator, not even B'dievin. And people don't know, it's a Shabbos elevator. It's not a Shabbos elevator, it's an elevator that is now on auto mode. It was never designed for the grumma and all the different things that his machon has incorporated into an elevator to actually be halachically compliant with a Shabbos elevator. Not getting into the fact you should have some tega, it's not my place. But the point is, it may not even be a Shabbos elevator. It could be Mamash Mechal Shabbos. And another Rav who has years of experience said to point out, you have a room on the sixth floor. You turn on the cold water, because we're not going to use the hot water Shabbos. As soon as you turn on the cold water, you start a water pump. You didn't know that. It's a grumma, heterium, yes, but you're turning on a water pump. It's not in the Mahadran Hotel. It's not made up for any of the stuff. They don't go through the extra expense and trouble to do anything to accommodate you other than say, here's your room, the chickens are Mahadran, enjoy your stay. And understand, the Chilul Shabbos is really bad. It's a very big issue. I don't know if a non-Mahadran hotel can be, I don't know if the Mashkichim undertake it or not. I know certain Mashkichim, I know they do. I don't know most of these Mashkichim. And I don't pretend to have the knowledge they have, but I don't know if they know enough about hotels that they even get into all these different issues.
I had a hotel that was not Mahadran and then was taken over by a Mahadran ownership. You're saying there might be things in the infrastructure that may be very difficult to change?
The Rabbanut, apparently, before we'll give a Mahadran to Dar, make sure all the stuff is taken care of.
The stuff inside the walls, the water pump, whatever.
I don't know what they do. Maybe they call up Hop, and I mean, seriously, maybe install something that makes an acceptable grammar. I don't know. I really don't. Don't pretend to know. All I know is these are issues. I also know there's inyan of the round-the-clock coffee and cake. You know, again, this shouldn't be a Mahadran issue. It's Chilul Shabbos is a issue for anything, but the truth is, I was in one hotel. We went to shul Friday night. We came out, and I saw this 500-liter tank. Went to visit someone. It was bubbling away. They forgot to turn it off from high. And here we were, you know, it's Friday night, well into Shabbos, this thing is bubbling away. So I knew in the morning there'll be no hot water. So I made the extra trip, came back in the morning to see, it was fine, it was full, it wasn't boiling anymore, someone shut it off on Shabbos and it was fine, everyone could have coffee, Mahadran. It's unbelievable. You know, you gotta really go. A Shabbos Mashkiach is a very difficult job. If you want to see Shabbos Mashkiach 2 to 3 hours before Shabbos, schleps around the cart with locks and chains, I mean, literally. In the kitchen, in a hotel that's run properly, in a plaza, we'll go back to the plaza, I like the plaza. Okay. A Mahadran hotel, the standard today is all the food is put into these Shabbos boxes, Erev Shabbos, locked, and the Shabbos Mashgiach has the key. Temperature is set, a steel door goes over all the controls, can't change the temperature, you can't turn it on and off, it's set on a clock, it stays cool, it goes on, goes off, that's it. Mashgiach comes to open it to serve lunch, that's the end of it, there's no playing. The non-Mahadran hotels, the food is generally put in by Goyim, and this is not locally acceptable, but the Mahadran go to that extra step so you can't have any playing around. And their food is put in when everything is turned off, and it's dafka by Goyim, not Jews, and then the stuff turns on and warms it up. But they feel if it's locked up Erev Shabbos, there's no room for playing around with the food. And if the chef decides he wants to put in a different mana or change something, he can't. Everything is locked. The controls on the ovens are locked. Every knob, every switch is covered up, literally covered up. The water tanks are supposed to be covered up, locked. Everything is chotum, garuf, closed, finished, you can't get into anything. That's if it's done properly. Non-Mahadran hotel, not all of them do that. So you don't know what's going on. In that case with the water, I saw what was going on. It wasn't what it should have been.
So you're saying that the Mahadran Hesher does apply to other aspects of the hotel, something we know that's not true about.
If it's not a year-round Mahadran hotel, and they're coming in for a week, do we know how far they take it? Like, people always call up and ask about the Shkita, and they get the whole Gush Katif story. How many people say, what's the Shmira Shabbos like?
No, I understand, but a year-round Mahajan hotel is guaranteed.
They're supposed to. I don't guarantee anything. I see what the standard is supposed to be, and the hotels I've checked, which aren't a lot, I see what it is.
As opposed to sukkahs, where we know that could be Mahajan Hefsher, but the sukkah could be completely possible.
Although in the hotels, they're usually a little better about that, too.
Restaurants, they don't necessarily care about the other things.
That's true. Unfortunately, I wrote about that 2 years ago. Last year, I didn't get to it. Then there's the shift change. You know, there's a story you found out. You go to a hotel lobby, Yontif, Shabbos, whatever you want to do, different halachas, one's more, worse. Obviously, the Yontif's easy if it's not on a Shabbos. But you sit down, you have a bottle of Coke, you have a cup of coffee, and you tell the guy, room 106. This is all based on a very famous Heta Tshuva that was written by Rav Avadya Yosef decades ago. And he goes to the other guy at the table and they enter it into the computer, and I'll peep over there, oh, that's acceptable on Shabbos. But then you find out that the guy who took your order for 106 went to the lobby desk, and you find out Ahmed's name is Yossi because they had to switch shifts last minute of Shabbos, and now you had a Jew writing the stuff down because you had to have a soda. It gets complicated. Hotels, my own personal opinion, it's not a popular one, is hotels aren't made for Yidden to be staying by. That's all. It gets too complicated unless you get into one that's really, you know, like the Haredi hospitals, one on a level where everything is Shemir Shabbos. There are some hotels that do this as well, but they're getting more difficult to find. And again, the way they run, and I think it's very important, so don't misquote me, there are Piske Halacha from Rabbonim, Talmid HaChachamim, that give a Teirim, and they rely on it, and that's it. Not for me to say that they're wrong, because I'm not. I'm saying it may or may not be for me. That you do have the option of choosing what works for you. The Shabbos Mashkiach, does he stay in the hotel, or is he coming and going? A proper setting is the Shabbos Mashkiach, it's usually a single guy. Not because they want married people with kids that wouldn't love the idea. The hotel looks to save money. So the hotel will usually get a single guy, which means it's the low man on the pole. He's the Shabbos Mashgiach. He gets free room and board. And he lives there. That's what it should be. Some hotels I've seen, the guy comes and goes. Not a good idea. Because there's too many emergencies. He's not around. And they say, well, Shlomi's coming anyway. Let's fix it before he gets here. And the warming facilities, like I explained, are locked and closed. And that's what they should be. That's not a chumrah. That's halacha. Okay, Pesach, I'm only going to touch on briefly, and then I'm going to wind up. This week is not one of these drawn-out ones. We're going to keep within the time frame. Pesach, I can't stress enough. I think I have a fairly good handle on the confusion of the tzibur at large as far as shopping and going to the shuk and understanding a shayrim, and people are confused. That only magnifies itself over and over again for Pesach, with the stickers and the dates and tenuva with the Ad Erev Pesach, till afternoon of Erev Pesach. It's like no one writes the Metzias. There's a valid reason for that, I'm not getting into it now, but Tenuva that they write in their Koshel Erev Pesach, to see Yobi Tashanayin. It's an important code for people that are mocking me not to buy stuff that was made on Chol HaMoed. That's why they do that, just as an added note. Rav Ittman feels by writing Koshel Erev Pesach, so the Tzibur that doesn't want to benefit from anything that was done on Yontif itself, including Chol HaMoed, we'll look for that hechsher when they buy milk if they have to go Chol HaMoed because they ran out, and they'll know this was from before Pesach. Also because of bittul with other things in case something was in with the grain and the cows, whatever. Okay, and Pesach is who kashed how long before you answer the same questions. Then comes the kitniot, gebrochs, kol achad kimino go, which hechsherim used, matzahs, hand matzahs, shmur matzahs. They always write shmur, but is it machine shmur? Is it hand shmur? Is it only hand shmur for the seder? For the mitzvah matzahs, can you have hand shmur all the time? Makes a difference. The kitchen equipment, is it kashered? Was someone there watching it, or you just trust them and leave? Or the dishes, the same dishes all year kashered, or the Pesach set of dishes? Again, it may not matter to you, but it does. You don't have to ask the questions. Okay, and like I said, to me the cakes are the best witness for what the deal is. The cakes, like I said, no one can replicate those cakes at home on Pesach. Probably not during the year either, but during the year someone that really into baking has a good chance. As I always say, I do it in a light manner, joking manner, but the Metzius is, it's not that posh. I think this whole minnow that has developed, that has developed over the last 5 to 7, 8 years, that everyone goes away and we all need breaks, myself included, and we look for a place to go. You need to find the Hechsher. The Rabbanim told me, Rav Altman, for example, who I met with this week from the Leonardi da Vinci Plaza. By the way, I will tell you also, since everyone, not everyone, but I get many calls, the plaza, the Hechsher. The Shkita is now in the plaza of Rabbanut Yerushalayim for chicken, and Rabbanut Yerushalayim with Agudas Yisrael for meat. So it can save people a lot of emails. And it's a Rabbanut Mahadran place, so I think that's a good example. A few months ago, they were using land down Eda Chavedit. Now it's Rabbanut Mahadran, and they're allowed to. It's Rabbanut Mahadran. They're still within the parameters of what they're supposed to be. The management decided this is what they want to use. Which, Lavi?
Yeah, he said that they're
down to status of Mahadran, but they're not. Who's not? Lavi is using Rav Orbach as Mahadran. Rabbanut classifies Rav Orbach as Mahadran.
The chickens
in Lavi are Rav Orbach. The meat is Rabbanut Reshit Klat. That's Mahadran. Yeah. But the website says everything is Landau, Eda Chavedit, and Lubin, except the dairy products, meat, and chicken. But people don't get past the everything is Landau, Lubin, Eda, and they say, wow, we're done. They don't read the next line. You know, another guy called me up, emailed me actually, excuse me, more accurately, a few months ago, and one of these guys, his son's learning a kollel, Baruch Hashem had a shidduch, they're getting married, he booked the place in Ramat Gan, and he, something's wrong, he wants to make sure it's Eda Chavedit, Landau, Reuben. I said, what? He said, yeah, they're all three Hashem, the guy told him. And he booked it and paid a lot of money already. It was obvious from the initial email that this guy got scammed. So I looked at the website, made some calls, and I said, what your son may have not understood, well, obviously didn't understand, is he signed on a contract of a website that says, we use Landau, Eda Chavedit, Reuben chickens if you ask for them. Place is not Mahadran, has a regular Rabbanut Hechsher. And after he realized, he explained, it's a Haredi crowd, yeshivish people, I said, take your losses, look for a new place. It happens. He's a lucky one. He found it out. Look, we made a wedding myself. Not that long ago. A few years ago, one of the kids got married, and till literally about 2 weeks before the wedding, I woke up and realized this is a scam. And paid several $1,000s to throw the whole thing out and bring in the Eda Haredi and redo everything. And that's, we got burnt. It was my own mistake. I was asleep at the wheel. Happens to the best of us. Baruch Hashem, I caught it before the wedding. So, whatever you see in a restaurant is careful to fly in a hotel. It's complicated. A hotel is hundreds and hundreds of people walking in and out of the kitchens, delivery trucks coming in and out. You need a mashgiach that is really an army. You know, if being a mashgiach is an academic degree, being a mashgiach in a hotel is a PhD. It really is. It's an unbelievable job. Most people I know that are mashgiachim are not in their life to ever be a hotel mashgiach, because you have to be a very nasty person. You have to know how to really go head to head with management, because there's always going to be a fight between the head baker, the chef, the mashgiach. The hotel wants to bring the guest in and wants to keep everything pretty, nice, and exclusive. And the Rav HaMashi has to find the working place where you can keep it kosher and exclusive. You know, and the chef's not interested. The chef's interested in his cake stands up, because he used a different kind of gelatin where the kosher gelatin doesn't do it. I'm serious, they will sneak things in. Is it happen all the time, Chas V'Shalom, or people eating treif? I will hope not. Point is, you need a mashgiach mit yanim. And when you get these places that are kosher or go away places or a hotel and every travel agent sells it, ask the travel agent, what's the name of the hotel? What's the hechsher during the year? And then call a hotel, compare it, see what's the name of the Rav of the hotel, see what the Rav HaMashi has to tell you, and go from there. Hotels for Pesach, kosher dishes, sure. Most hotels do not have separate Pesach kelim. Look, when I was in the absorption center almost 30 years ago, we had those, they're not Melmac, those plastic dishes. Used to be very popular, the orange and the blue, light blue and orange. So they gave us one plate per person in the family, one soup bowl, one cup, blue. And Nebuch, I remember that was the first Aliyah from Ethiopia, Operation Moses. And I remember that the Rav of the Merkaz Chita came and gave the dishes to the Ethiopians. They only got one set. So I said, what are you doing? What's the scam? How come they only get one set? Well, they only keep Torah Shebichsav. They don't need two sets. I said, holy, I couldn't believe it. This is what they said. Here they got Machmir. But the point is, the Rav of the Merkaz holds you in kosher these things. We're not accustomed to that from where we came from, and our minhag is not to, but in Eretz Yisrael, they kosher pretty much anything that doesn't move. Anything that can tolerate boiling water gets koshered. So again, if you don't hold by that, you need to know. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Most hotels do not have separate Pesach dishes. Not everything. Certain things yes, certain things no. Like the
Mahadran?
Talking about Mahadran too. I've seen places that a Mahadran don't have everything separate. Stuff gets koshered.
Well, koshered dishes? The Mahadran place?
The dishes themselves, no. Not the actual plates you'll eat on. But no, those they'll change. I don't know about non-Mahadran. I would assume they do too. I would hope so. But the Rabbanut does hold you can kasher these things. They do because of chisser on kiss and all kinds of different reasons. They do kasher. But the hotels, the kitchen stuff, they don't. Again, the Mahadran ones will change a lot of gumiyot. They use, that's the Mashkichim love it. Pesach's an excuse for them to upgrade equipment and get new things that the budget doesn't permit. Pesach, they can chop a line. The good Mashkiach knows how to really take advantage of it. And there's a lot of problems. Oven doors, there's not a lot of time to kasher oven doors with a glass in it. You know, they aren't. So some guys manage the ways around a lot of things. Certain equipment they won't permit, depending on the... And again, understand, even Mahadran, the Rav of a hotel, the Mashkiach, has a lot of leeway. And depending on the working relationship between the Rav and the manager of the hotel, will decide how much they want to let that person get away with. And if the Rav is a Machmir kind of guy and he decides you're not using these machines on Yontif, they're not going to be used if the management lets him do what he wants. Like the two examples I gave, the Ramada and the Plaza, are on very serious levels for Pesach. They don't, as far as the kashering and the kitchens and the kelim and the different departments being closed and how they run that show. It's pretty amazing thing to watch what goes on. There's a lot of good overtime, a lot of yeshiva guys get a lot of kashrus hours in, like the week or two before Yontif, they call in tens if not hundreds of people to supervise the goyim working, what's going on. Any questions before we wrap up? Nothing? We take reservations, there's discounts for hotels, we're taking bookings after this. Go ahead. Cruises, I wasn't getting into it much, but one Rav who I speak to, who I call my guru for kashrus, I asked him if he ever was a Rav Machshir for a cruise. He said, yes, once, never ever, will do it again. As far as he's concerned, there's no way to properly supervise a cruise. He said, not in his life would he ever do it again. It's 24/7 food, never stops. There's not enough staff. They will not pay for enough kosher staff to do it properly. He was sorry he did it, and he would never do it again.
For Pesach or regular?
All year. Has it changed? That was about 7-8 years ago. I don't know what this... I'm just quoting someone. I have no idea. The best I've ever done has gotten onto the Circle Line in New York. That's the biggest board I've ever gotten on. Yeah.
You mentioned the thing about the guy opening up...
That's a big problem. He's talking about, I mentioned before, if a non-Jew opens up an oven door in a hotel, it stops the cooking system.
I had a question because I saw in one of the Zilker markets, this must be Shrine a few years ago, that there was a non-Jew working in the section and they were pushing the frozen pre-baked hood in the oven. They're already prepared on the tray, prepared and ready to go, and pushed into the oven. But I asked Rob, he said that if it was prepared by Jews,
The Siyam Avodah, there's a lot of ways you can get around it, they try, but it's all not the...
It doesn't have to be only the
Right, there is. Nachon Aloch also says that if a non-Jew lights the oven even, but if the Siyum Avodah and the Tachlis cooking was done by a Jew, that's okay. Again, you learn the different kashrus agency, you learn what they'll tolerate. And you learn what works for you. You're right, it's a good point. Okay, but the end of the day is, Rabbi Yosef Fink, who's someone I rely on heavily, whose name I don't use in public often, but he's a veteran Mashkiach that goes, he lectures around the world. He's a Baki in Halacha. He's a Talmud Chacham, and he's a straight shooter above it all. Puts it all together nicely. He said to me, and I think it's very poignant, he said, the Rabbonim in their Chachma put the Heterim in because problems happen. And he said, any Mashkiach, any Rav HaMachshir, any Kashrus company, any Kashrus agency that tells you they never have a mix-up, it's not telling you the truth. It happens in the best of hotels with the best Hashkacha, the best Mashkichim. Sort of like the insurance business. My guy told me many years ago when I signed on with him for the car insurance, he said, I hope you'll never know what a great insurance agent I am. I said, what's the pshat? He said, if you never have an accident, you'll just keep paying me every year and we'll be friends and that's the end of it. When things go bad, that's the real test. It's the same in a hotel. And that's when the Mashgiach really, his knowledge of Yoredeya works, his ability to take command of a situation must work, and his ability to even be confrontational at times has to work as too. And Rabbi Fink said, the problem has become that many of the Rabbanim that went around who are learned people have built a kashrus standard based on Heterim. He said Heterim were there for an exit, for Petach Milut. When things go wrong, what do? It's Erev Shabbos, they messed up. So then you say, Chisron Kis, Hefsen Meruba, people have to eat, and you call up a posach, you can find the shalit because 500 people can't be told you're not getting anything but a peanut butter sandwich. But you don't build kashrus on Bidiyeved, you don't build kashrus on Heterim, and you don't build kashrus on ways out. And that's what many people do. And I think, and then when you challenge them, they become confrontational, because most of them know more than I do, at least. And they start quoting chapter and verse, and they try to tell you, who are you to tell me? And then people sort of go back into their little hole and say, wow, you know, this guy really knows his stuff. Okay, and I'm always back and say, yeah, you know your stuff, but you still did it wrong. And that's the point. You can't, and that works in the store, in the butcher shop, and any place you go. In my opinion, kashrus is according to Shulchan Aruch, and the Heterim are when things go wrong. Heterim is Nebuch when it's a cholish, yesh bo sakana, she'ein bo sakana. So the laws in the hospital, when the guy in the bed eats the food in the morning in the daisa, he's allowed to eat it. You and I cannot. Because there's an element of Chilul Shabbos in warming that daisa that's permitted for him because of his halachic status. For me that comes to visit him, why you want to eat it, I don't know anyway. But the point is, you can't eat that. You understand? So that's what halacha does. It gives you the petach milut because the chachamim realize that this is the real world. Sometimes people are sick. Sometimes a woman is pregnant, God willing, you know, and you have to address that accordingly. But it doesn't mean to take all these ways out and now let's build this as a platform for our kashrus agency, advertise it to the world, and then have the chutzpah to call it Mahadrin. Anyone else before we wrap up? Yeah.
Nachon. Wives have to know when to ask the shaykh.
Is it that the Mashgiach teaches the staff? There's no inyan that I found ever of a Ne'eman Kashrus in hotel. It's Mashgiach, Mefakeach. That's the hierarchy. It's Mashgiach, the supervisor, sometimes Mashgiach. Rav at hotel is also the chief Mashgiach, the Rav. That's it. And the Mashgiach has to be Be'inyanim. That's what it relies on. It's not going to be like the Goy or even the non-religious Jew. And I didn't even get into the Mumah, the Halachas, where people say with a non-religious Jew cooking, that's its own issue. That's not the lecture. So how many laws are violated and what might Asasam al-Chachilu b'di'evit? That's why you either trust the Hechshem Yidot. That's what I'm saying. It comes down to everything. The same thing with the Shechita. The same thing with the bakery. The Hechshem says, Truma Mice is not a problem, Challah was separated, enjoy the bread. Either you trust it or you don't. You know, someone called me from New York, asked me a question, Dafka, that's how I started this whole thing about with the Orla, with the 2-year trees. And I said, Rav Ruman's Hechsher exception. I said, it doesn't, it does. I called up, finally I said, Ad Khan. I called up Rav Ruman, I said, no, what is, he couldn't believe it. I have to say, I was very impressed. I said, by the way, did you ever read the Ramat Beit Shemesh Kashrus Guide? He said, sure I did. I know exactly who you are. And so as a result, we're going to do a whole thing on Rabbi Reuben's Hechsher too. So what's the standard? And he said, no, but that's agency accepts it, period. All right, so people talk, people say things. But ultimately, so the guy in New York, I called him back and told him. He said, well, where'd you get this information for? Because I know you're wrong. I said, I spoke to the Rav HaMachshir b'chvodo v'atzmo. He says, well, it's not true. I said, ultimately, if you don't believe the man, you shouldn't be eating his heksha. That's the end of it. It's the same with any heksha. I can go and see a shkita 100 times, I'm still not a shochet, and I can look at the kitchen 100 times. Ultimately, it comes to trust, but trust shouldn't be blind trust. Trust is based on the fact that the Rabbanim say, this is a heksha, where the Rabbanim, the Mashkichim, the Bezdin, the Gaivid, whatever different levels they have, these guys are looking out for Shulchan Aruch, they're out there, Halach L'maaseh, the people are doing it in the field, and you can trust them. That's it. That's the best you can do. And then, as Rabbi Fink told me, so when you get to the Din V'cheshbon, the Me'ev Esrim, and they say, what did you do with Kashrus? You say, I learned Halach, I did the best I could, and that's it on Porto. It's not, staying ignorant is never an excuse to say, oh, I did the best I could, but I never opened up a safe in my life. That's not a, that's, that doesn't work. Anyone else? Yeah.
Do you have a checklist that a person could use to speak to a hotel or speak to a mishkiah?
If you want, I can give you a bunch of questions. Again, I don't think it's a checklist. You need to know the kashrus of the hotel, the name of the rav, if it's a weekend deal. You know, if it's a regular hotel, you say, this is the hotel, this is the hechshir, you eat it or you don't. So if you want, your rav may tell you, it's a Mahajan hotel, but the Mahajan hotels use different shechitas. They do. So you got to call up what shechita you're going to be using the Shabbos when they come, blah, 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 and then you say yes, yes, no, no. The checklist, this is a very, very quick, superficial overview, and you see how many different issues we touched. You want a checklist, believe that, if I have time, I'll be happy to email or send me an email. I'll try to do this, but it's not the point. And what do you do when you get the responses? Where do you go with all of it?
Well, at least if you have an idea, you can ask an intelligent question.
Okay, that's fair. I would ask what the hechshir of the hotel is, and what the shechitas are, and what the raw ingredients are, and is the hashkocha yotzei v'nichnas, or is always there, and what's the dairy stuff. It's funny, because I say about the shechitas, people got this thing with the shechitas. For me personally, I worry more about the chol avim meals than I do about the shechitas. Because the dairy, much more. Because I have my nose guy with the dairy. The shechitas, I know what the shechita is. It's a shechita you use, you don't. It's a yes or no question. There's nowhere to go. You don't ask what shulchan was on duty that Tuesday, or when did they shecht it, or who did the malicha, or who did the bedika on the rayon. It doesn't matter. But the dairy, everyone says, it's dairy. What could be wrong? So dairy to me is far more complicated in many ways than the meat.
What should someone say to the Gush Katif? Is it the different levels?
And if he tells you the name of the company, what's it going to do for you? I tell you, I use Alei Basor. Last week we used Mesha Cohen Man. The week after we used Cohen. Now what? That's what I'm trying to say. The Maisev, the Mashkiach's really doing his job, it really matters a little less in a hotel than in a private home what they're using, because the hotels really do soak and wash and power wash and really do a nice job, where they should. So if they're doing their job, everything should be removed anyway. And if they're really using a commercial flour sifter, you should be okay. And if the rice is going down this long machine and the kidney oat, you're fine. The question is, who's making sure it gets done? And you're making sure, like in the one hotel, all the kidney oats, when they get delivered off a truck, go into a walk-in refrigerator. He only will store flour and kidney oat in a cool area, cool, dry walk-in refrigerator. That's a big hiddur. Helps prevent a lot of infestation. Most hotels don't do that, but what they do are they makpid that after the stuff is done, it's used right away. They're not going to sift flour now for next Tuesday. You can't do that. Same as at home, by the way. If you sift a kilo of flour and you use half a kilo and you leave the other half a kilo on the shelf next week, you got to sift it again. You've done nothing. If you put it in the refrigerator, you can hold it. If you put it in the freezer, you can hold it much, much longer. But same thing. You can't just sift it and put it back. You did nothing. Well, you can for a day or two, but that's about it. Look, in America, it was used for meat. It had to do with shechita of cows and veal, whatever, cow also veal. Here, it pops up everywhere. At the end of the day, it's the same as a restaurant. You need to know the hechshir, and you need to find out from a rabbi it's reliable. Yes, it is. No, it's not. That's the end.
Somebody says Glatz Mahadrin. I spoke to one of those hotels today. Glatz Mahadrin. That's supposed to be aware.
With a restaurant, I tell people you need to see the sign, the same with a hotel. It's all words. It's all buzzwords. What's the sign on the door? Who gives the hechshir? Who's the guy at the end of the day when they said a buck stops here? Who's that rabbi? And then you find out if that rabbi is someone that is worthy of your trust and not someone you should eat. That's all it comes down to.
Are the rules for
more
than in America?
No. In America, Suffolk, all is the cooler. You're lenient in Israel because it's made of ice. It's the
question? Are
the rules for all are the same in America here? Anyone else? Thank you all for coming. Next week, Yemir Tzashem is Rav Peretz Monach. I think that's how his name is pronounced. I deal with him for 2 years, I'm not sure. Who's fascinating. He will be speaking about kashering kalim, kashering kitchens, commercial and industrial, and giving an idea of what goes on all over the world to provide kosher food, the kashering process. Thank you.